Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Emily Abadi here. You are listening to another installment of Hurdle Moment from Hurdle, a wellness-focused podcast where I connect with everyone from your favorite athletes to top experts and industry CEOs about their highest highs, toughest moments, and everything in between. We all go through hurdles in life, and my goal through these discussions is to empower you to better navigate yours and move with intention so that you can stride toward your own big potential and, of course, have some fun along the way. For today's episode, I am sitting down with Dr. Greg Hammer. He's a Stanford University professor and best-selling author, as well as a mindfulness expert. And we are chatting about his three-minute strategy to manage stress and increase your resilience. Trust me, I'm right there with you. The last few years have been a time gesturing behind this microphone. And with everything that's been going on in the world, burnout feels more prevalent than ever. And that's because it truly is. According to a survey that was put together by Deloitte, including 1,000 different respondents, 77% say that they had experienced burnout at their current job, and 91% say that the unmanageable stress or frustration impacts the quality of their work. Not to mention that burnout also negatively impacts their personal relationships. Again, I get it. I've been there. Heck, sometimes I wonder if I'm there right now. And that is exactly why I decided to have this conversation with Dr. Hammer for the show, because who doesn't want to have tools in their toolbox to navigating the things that feel as though they are beyond our control? In today's episode, Dr. Hammer shares with us the four pillars of what he calls his GAIN method, which stands for gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgmental. He talks us through how in just 3 minutes a day, you can decrease negative thoughts and even potentially rewire your brain. Trust me, it's truly possible. We talk about the importance of daily practice over time, plus what it means to be truly intentional and how you can bring intentionality into your everyday. Really found a lot of helpful takeaways in this episode, in this conversation, and I know that you will too. I want to make a quick call out. A lot of you really loved last week's episode on imposter syndrome. I'm going to make sure to link that in the show notes to this episode. I want to make content that serves you. I want to be talking to experts and chatting about the things that you are interested in. So if you have a specific question, if there's something that you want to hear about on the show, I am all ears. The link to leave me a voice message, say hello, ask a question, do whatever you want, that link is there for you in the show notes. Also, feel free to drop us a line over email over at hello@hurdle.us. Make sure you're following along with Hurdle over on social. It's at Hurdle Podcast. I am over at Emily Abadi. And with that, let's get to it. Let's get to hurdling. Today, I am sitting down with Dr. Greg Hammer. He is a professor at Stanford University. He's also a physician and best-selling author. How are you doing today, Dr. Hammer?
I'm doing very well. Nice to be with you.
Thank you so much for taking the time. This is admittedly one of the first things I'm doing today, aside from organizing for the week. And I feel like it's very appropriate since we're here to talk about mindfulness and kind of getting our act together. Were you always interested in this field of study?
No, I have always been interested in seeking the truth, the usual big questions, ever since I was a little boy. And I got into astronomy as a school age and middle school child and high school student. And I think that sort of expanded my interest in the big picture, let's say. So I've always been very interested in that. I would say that, you know, mindfulness itself and the very simple message of mindfulness is something relatively recent to most of us. I mean, the really mindfulness practice came to the United States in the late 1970s with Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn, who's one of my heroes. But it really didn't become a thing that we talk about and a term that we use until I don't know, probably 10, maybe 15 years ago. And so, but in the meantime, I have been a longtime student of Advaita, and they both really come from a Buddhist philosophy that is Advaita and mindfulness. Dr. Kabat-Zinn himself was a longtime student of Buddhism. And so, I would say lifetime pursuit, if you will, 10 or 15 year realization that there's nothing to pursue.
Interesting. Expand on that a little bit.
Well, the truth is within us, and I believe that happiness is our true nature, and so it's already there. And like others, I had really been looking outside myself my whole life, either looking through a telescope to find the truth or simply looking for it in general. And I think one of the tenets of Advaita and mindfulness too is really that there's nothing for which to look. It's already there. We just have to allow ourselves to sink into the present moment. And that's where truth and happiness lie. It's just that normally we are so distracted with the past and the future that it's difficult for us to be present. And I think that's the way that our brains have been wired over tens of thousands of years of evolution, possibly since early Homo sapiens, but certainly for the last 50,000 years or so. We're wired to really focus on the past and I think mainly on the future in terms of our forebears, but most of us are wired to really overthink the past and the future and not spend enough time in the present moment. We all have occasions where we experience the present moment, but not enough of them. And the other way that I think our brains have become wired is that we have a negativity bias. We tend to remember the negative and forget the positive. And one can kind of explain these things on an evolutionary basis. Some of these qualities in the ways that our brain neurons are connected may have been adaptive at one point, but they are no longer adaptive, at least to the extent to which we tend to embrace them. So I would say, you know, it's been about a 10 to 15 year history on my own part of realizing what I consider to be the truth.
Yeah, this whole concept, thinking about positivity versus negativity, and you saying that happiness could be, we have an opportunity for that to kind of be the default, whereas we know that, I believe the number, and please correct me if you have others to throw out there, but the National Science Foundation threw out that 80% of our thoughts are negative. So for all of us navigating these persistent negative thoughts, even if you desire to be in this homeostasis state of happiness, it's quite difficult to get there.
Yes. So the idea is that our brains have this amazing quality called neuroplasticity. That means we can literally change the way that we think. I don't know if you read Michael Pollan's book, How to Change Your Mind, but he's really talking about psychedelics. So that's a separate topic. But the idea is that our brains are malleable in terms of the way we think. So whether it's through microdosing with psilocybin or simply having a daily intentional practice, the good news is that we can change the way we think. But I do believe that our brains have become wired the way they are over a very long period of time. And we're not going to change the way we think substantially overnight. But if we have intention or purposefulness to change the way we think, we can do it. And it's exciting and it's simple and it's fun and it's rewarding.
Well, first and foremost, I've got to hear about what your regular mindfulness practice looks like. And then we'll talk about getting intentional. So start us there.
Sure. Well, intention is part of it. So I've spent a long time thinking of what are really the essentials. What is the essence of being present? And I will say that I love Dr. Kabat-Zinn's definition of mindfulness, which I think could be the definition of happiness, which is awareness of the present moment on purpose, non-judgmentally. So therein are some of the concepts that I hold dear as primary and essential. One of them is, of course, as we've said, being present. So awareness of the present moment, being able to really sink into the present moment on purpose, and that on purpose, intention is essential, because if we don't have purpose or intention, we kind of fall into our old ways of thinking, our old habits of negativity and distraction with the past and future. And the non-judgmentally is so important also. So the four elements that I have really come to understand as essential are expressed in the acronym, which is the title of my first book, or at least the first word of the title in capital letters, being GAIN. And GAIN is an acronym for these four pillars, which are gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgment. So they have those elements of on purpose, the I in GAIN being intention, and the N in GAIN being non-judgment. So these, I think, are the four essentials. And so my practice and the practice that I teach and write about is simply based on GAIN principles. So my daily practice is opening the blinds. Hopefully there's some light out there. Sometimes in the winter, it's not quite light yet, but doing the morning hygiene thing and then finding a comfortable place to sit. And I've kind of made it start with a 3-minute practice, because most people think that meditation means you have to sit for at least 30 minutes without moving or scratching an itch, possibly in an uncomfortable position, and mainly without having any thoughts in your mind, which is virtually impossible for most people. So I've actually morphed that into a 3-minute practice. So you can sit wherever you want, just in a comfortable chair is fine. If you have an itch, it's okay to scratch it. And instead of trying to banish all thoughts from the mind, I'm giving you these four things to think about sequentially. It's really five, because it starts with the breath. So it starts with focusing on the breath, slowing the breath down. This actually activates something called our parasympathetic nervous system, which is the one that opposes the fight or flight or freeze sympathetic nervous system. So when we activate the parasympathetic nervous system, it slows our heart rate, it lowers our blood pressure in a healthy way, lowers the amount of adrenaline and cortisol in our blood. We start to feel more positive just by focusing on our breath. Then we actually do a contemplative meditation for 30 or 45 seconds each of these four GAIN principles. So I start with that for which I'm grateful. And I'm again, my eyes are closed. I'm sitting in a comfortable place. I have really focused on my breath and slowing it down, which I kind of continue to do throughout this 3 to 5 minute period. Focus on that for which I'm grateful. You know, my next meditation will be gratitude in meeting you and sharing a lovely half an hour or so with you, a new friend. I'm so grateful for all of the love in my life, my family, my friends, my job. I feel very privileged to do what I do, serving my neighbors, my community. So much for which to be grateful, my health, etc. Then I transition to the A in GAIN, which is acceptance, because pain is a part of life as much as joy is. And so we need to accept that, because if we try to push it away or not think about it, we amplify our suffering. So there's a formula in the book, suffering equals pain times resistance. We love formulas in medicine. Suffering equals pain times resistance. So the pain is there. Okay, I lost my son at the age of 29, 6 years ago. That pain is always going to be there. However, if I sit and breathe and I've gone over my gratitude and I bring that pain closer and closer, I open my chest, I actually visualize opening my heart and bringing that feeling, that experience into my heart and nurturing it, enveloping it with my heart and sitting with that for just 15 or 20 or 30 seconds, I find that I can live with that. And it's not as bad as I thought it would be when I was trying to resist it in a whole variety of ways. And so we bring an experience that's uncomfortable or painful in, and we have that experience. And then we move to the I in GAIN, which is intention. And this is where our purposefulness is so important. So we need to focus our intention on, for one thing, the present moment. So in this GAIN contemplative meditation, let's first focus on our physical experience. We can actually focus on the sensation of the chair against our body, maybe the tingling sensation on the soles of our feet. I live between the San Francisco and San Jose airport, both of which are, you know, 20 miles away or so. So I focus on what I can hear with my eyes closed, breathing slowly, focused on my breath. I often will hear an airplane going by in the distance, that lovely Doppler effect where it's coming closer and the pitch is increasing and then flying away. It could be, you know, focusing on the slightly sweet smell of the air we're breathing. So we focus on our present experience, and then we pledge as we breathe slowly to be more positive, to focus on the positive things in our life. And then we transition to non-judgment. And here a very simple exercise is we recognize first that judging is not necessary and usually not positive and not helpful to us. Things don't have to be good or bad. So here we may focus on one of these beautiful NASA images of the Earth apparently suspended in space and think, the Earth is a planet. It's beautiful, but it really is neither good nor bad. It's just the planet that it is. It's just that it is. And then it's only logical to think that I too am a human being. I'm neither good nor bad. I'm just the human being. I'm just the person that I am. And then I move to the I am-ness, the I am, and the breath and the I am. And we sit with this. And then we slowly open our eyes and we're ready to go out in the world. And all of that took 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, I like this practice because it feels like an entry point that you can approach with ease, right? In that oftentimes, as you said at the top of this, we are made to feel like a meditation, a gratitude practice needs to be this whole elaborate thing. And the reality is with these 4 foundation points, you can really make it work for you. Now, when you started integrating this way of practice into your regular routine, did you find it difficult at first in any way?
No, I actually found it refreshingly simple. So I love Deepak Chopra, for example, but I have a hard time remembering, you know, the 7 fundamental ways of living or the 10 steps to this or that. And that life is too complicated. And I have trouble reading about spiritual matters because it's often complex. I think people make it more complicated than it is. And my non-duality or Advaita teacher makes it very, very simple, very direct. And I love that. So I tried to come up with something that was easy, both, you know, I like acronyms. We have tons of them in medicine. If you came on rounds in the intensive care unit, you probably wouldn't understand a word anybody was saying because of all the acronyms that are used, among other things. So I tried to make it very simple. And I found that when I kind of distilled things down to these gain elements, it's so refreshingly easy and simple, as you said. So,
yeah,
I mean, I found everything before that somewhat difficult and complicated. But once I really sat with it and tried to distill things down to an acronym and a practice that would be so simple, not only for me, but for everybody else, it was like, you know, it was like an moment. Even simpler than an aha moment. It was an moment.
a breath of fresh air. You know, what I'm hearing you say is that this really has worked for you. And that's truly beautiful. Now, for individuals who are interested in trying this, but do feel a little bit of that resistance, understandably so, trying something new can have its challenges. What do you recommend for them to feel a little bit more at ease?
I would say, first of all, recognize that we all have this negativity bias. Recognize that we all have trouble being present. So that first thought, actually, that we're all made the same way, our brains are all wired the same way, is so refreshing and such good news for people, because we all think the secret is that we have these awful attributes and we feel shame and low self-esteem. So first of all, realize that everybody is this way. This is the way we're wired. The second thing is that, you know, again, our brains are the way they are, having evolved over a long period of time. We're not going to change things overnight. So have no expectations. Don't just have low expectations. Just set your expectations take them, remove them, set them aside, and then realize that you're going to take baby steps. Okay. This is a brief practice and our brains are not going to change overnight. So it's just baby steps. There's no such thing as failure. I think those concepts will really help people just sort of relax into the practice and not expect a huge change on day one. But I do think that if people set their intention and they do this very simple, as little as 3-minute practice every morning, let's say, I think it's a great way to start the day. We started talking about Monday morning. So it's a great way to start the day, a great way to start the week. I do think that after days, weeks, a month or two, everybody can look back and say, you know, I'm happier than I used to be. I'm more positive. I'm able to be present and actually notice what's happening right now.
Yeah, I love that we keep mentioning this word intention and also getting intentional with this practice. I think that that is something that is easy to overlook, the positive intentions that we may have for our life, for our days, in this case, for this practice. For someone who wants to get more intentional with their positivity, where do you recommend that they start?
I really think that the GAIN practice is a great way to start. It's simple. It's easy. You know, maybe spend a minute on the intention at first, you know, 30 or 45 seconds on gratitude, acceptance, and then spend a little more time on intention. Try to gradually lengthen the period of time that you're noticing your present physical experience, you know, the pressure of the chair against your body, et cetera. Sit with that. Sit with those sensations, those perceptions that are current, that are right now, for a little bit longer. And then set your intention on being more positive and sit there a little bit longer as you link it to your breath. What happens with these elements in this practice is that when you find you're sinking into your old bad habits of being distracted and negative, a light bulb will go off, right? So you've been doing your GAIN practice for a few weeks. When you're being ungrateful or resisting or unintentional and just kind of lapsing into negativity as you get out of bed in the morning and you focus on a body part that is uncomfortable or what have you, instead of all the body parts that are working miraculously well, you know, you can just sort of gradually lengthen it and sit with the intention part a little bit more. But when you find that you're being unintentional, that light bulb moment will steer you back to being intentional. And linking these elements to your breath, as we do, you know, your breath is always accessible. You're always breathing. And even though people may go a whole day without breathing deeply and properly in a way, you know, if you focus on your breath, then these things will just come back to you. It's like a conditioned response. Focus on your breath and you feel gratitude. Focus on your breath, you feel acceptance, et cetera. It's quite miraculous.
Yeah. And when you say breathing correctly, can you shed a little bit of light on that?
Sure. I think that during our morning meditation, but also throughout the day when we think of it, breathe intentionally. So breathe into your belly and slow your breath down. Just take a couple of slow breaths. So actually take your inspiration, your in-breath to a slow count of three, pause to a count of three, and let the breath out very slowly and effortlessly to a count of four or five. And get in this rhythm where you're slowing your breath down to what may amount to, you know, a count of 10, three in, pause for three, out for four. And that slows your breathing rate down. If you think of it, if each count is a second, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, four, a second each, that's 10 seconds. So that means your respiratory rate is six. You've slowed your breathing rate down to six and you're taking slow, deep breaths into your belly. And this will get rid of the carbon dioxide that's in excess, perhaps, in your bloodstream. Increase the amount of oxygen in your blood, open those little air sacs in your lung that tend to collapse, those little alveoli, we call this atelectasis when they collapse, So that kind of breathing will just be refreshing. It'll make you feel good. And it will slow you down. It activates the parasympathetic nervous system. Again, it will lower your adrenaline and cortisol. So that's what I consider sort of proper breathing, if you will. And that's the in-breath is through the nose. I think that's important. The out-breath can be through the nose or mouth. So it's just focused breathing. And it has a lot of benefits.
And when you say through the nose is important, can you elaborate on that?
You know, this is really just through what I've read and what I've experienced.
Yeah.
That we do a lot of breathing through our mouth.
Yeah.
And I think it mouth breathing when we're awake and when we're asleep actually kind of changes the morphology of our face in ways that are not favorable. It actually it has negative effects on the openness or patency of our airway, which is a complicated set of structures that begins with the lips and the outside of the nose, if you will, and then goes deep all the way down into the lungs. So, you know, it just seems that breathing through the nose, at least taking the in-breath through the nose, is beneficial in a number of ways. And breathing through the mouth can actually cause more congestion in the nasal passages and so on, and have some deleterious effects if it's chronic. So I just focus on breathing in through the nose. It seems to feel better to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels better to me too. I love what you said before about the choice to focus on the positives, in that I'll bring this applicable to what I'm navigating right now. I've had plantar fasciitis for what feels like forever. And every day I wake up and I know it's there, but I choose to be very intentional with my morning routine and lean into my gratitude practice and do my breath work and get to my journaling. And through that exercise, I am choosing to focus on the things that I can control and the things that feel good and positive about my life, instead of what otherwise would be a very nagging way to start the day, which is the unsettling, you know, little jolt of pain that I feel when I limp out of my bed in the morning, right? So I can recognize that it's there. I can acknowledge that pain, but it doesn't mean that that feeling needs to be the first thing that I'm going to focus on as I go throughout my day. And I do believe that it is through that meditation and journaling practice, similar to your GAIN practice, that has enabled me to get out of that frustration point, which admittedly has been a hard place to get to, without a doubt.
Well, you know, that I think what you're describing is resistance.
Right.
So again, it's the opposite of acceptance. So you get out of bed and you focus on this pain and these unpleasant sensations. And then, you know, you're thinking, why me, et cetera, et cetera. This is a form of resistance. This is the opposite of acceptance. And so it's not healthy. But also, I have to say that really understanding the way the human body works, the heart, the lungs, the brain, the musculoskeletal system, has given me a very deep appreciation that we can all share, that it's just miraculous the way our bodies work. You know, it's a miracle that a human baby is born healthy after all of the embryologic and fetal development that goes on, and the blood supply through the placenta and all of these things coming together, these cells talking to each other and differentiating into skin cells, brain cells, et cetera. It's a miracle. So when we get out of the bed in the morning, yeah, you know, like, I can tell you, especially as you get older, you're probably going to have more aches and pains. So the idea is you start to feel that unpleasant sensation at the bottom of your feet from your plantar fasciitis, and direct your thoughts to what a miracle it is that I slept at all, that my body is working, my heart's beating, I was asleep and I kept breathing the whole time. You know, what a miracle, all of that beautiful unity and synchronicity of the human body. Yeah. And when you direct your thoughts to that, you sort of, well, you know, so there's this one little thing. The idea is to redirect your thoughts to the miracle of the way the rest of your body is working, instead of focusing on the unpleasant sensation at the soles of your feet.
Definitely. And so you have this practice that you do in the morning. Is there anything else that you do throughout your day, or perhaps to cap off your day before hitting the bed?
Yes. I think all day, whenever it occurs to me, whenever the thought comes, I refocus on the breath and bring these GAIN principles back into focus. And then, you know, before I go to sleep, I kind of take stock of my day and I realize, you know, what a wonderful experience it has been. And I, you know, the idea is when you return your focus to your breath and you've linked your breath to these gain elements, they all come back to you when you focus on your breath. And so I certainly do that throughout the day and before I go to sleep. I'm not a journaler. I don't tend to write things down. I started a practice where I tried to write down my dreams when I woke up, but I found that, you know, I just kind of set that aside. So I'm not a journaler. I think if you are, it's terrific. It's a terrific way to focus on all the positive elements of the day that you've had if you do that in the evening. But I just simply go back to my breath and the gain elements. You know, I might be riding my bicycle and I'm going down this narrow lane on my way to the hospital, which I do every time I ride my bike to the hospital. And, you know, maybe somebody is walking in the path. And as I get closer, I see, well, they're in the middle. I'm going to have to go around them. It's kind of inconsiderate of them not to walk on the side. And there's this beautiful light filtering through the treetops. And this person is looking at their screen on their phone. And I've noticed they have buds in their ears. I start to make all these judgments. A light bulb goes off. Hey, I just did my gain meditation. I let go of all the judgment. And I kind of laugh at myself, drop the judgment. And as I go by that person, I look down and smile and they look up at me and smile. I get a little hit of dopamine instead of having this negative judgment experience. And so these light bulb moments happen throughout the day. And the more you kind of settle into this practice, the more automatic that becomes.
I really enjoy how you tried something and recognized, okay, this doesn't feel right for me. And without judgment, again, going to this non-judgmental place, you let it go, right? Instead of forcing yourself to really linger in this routine, maybe because you feel as though you should be doing something like that. And that can be challenging as well, letting things go.
Yes. I mean, I think there's certain things we need to persist at, right? We need to really, even though it doesn't feel right, maybe try to think about it in a different way, but keep doing it. Like I think going out for a walk in nature, even just walking around the block, especially during COVID when people were so cooped up, you know, maybe at first it felt like, oh, I'd rather be sitting in my chair or my computer. But we do have to have intention or purposefulness to form new ways of being, new habits. So yes, you have to be persistent in some ways, but I think you also have to develop the intuition to know what's right for you. And if writing things down is resonant and you find it's easy to get into that habit, that's wonderful. But if you've been trying it for a few weeks and it's just not your thing and you find that you get just as much meaning out of focusing your thoughts without writing them down, then that's fine. So we have to discern, you know, we have to focus on good sleep hygiene, exercise routines, the way we eat, and sometimes we have to change those things, just like the way we think, in ways that are require persistence and baby steps. But there's other things we can try and we recognize they're not really necessary and we can let them go. So we do have to discern, you know, but that's the art of living, isn't it?
The art of living. It is. It is. Now, before I let you go today, Dr. Hammer, is there anything else to add about this 3-minute gain meditation that I am sure many of the people listening are about to give a shot, maybe today, maybe tomorrow?
I think we've covered it. I really do.
Thank you so much for your time today, Dr. Hammer. For those that may want to follow along with you, how do they do so? Where can they find you?
GregHammerMD.com. GregHammerMD.com. That's the website. There's also Facebook and Instagram, and I don't know how to connect to those, but I'm sure people who are social media savvy will figure it out. But GregHammerMD.com is a good place to go.
Perfect. I'm over at Emily Abadi and at Hurdle Podcast. Another hurdle conquered. Catch you guys next time.